Well, Daniel chapter 8. Daniel has just been given a series of visions about what was going to happen in world affairs. Terrible fightings, complicated. Visions weren't that helpful. It had to be worked out. But I want to look at the last verse of chapter 8, which we will come to, Lord willing. And I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for some days. Then I rose and went about the king's business. But I was appalled by the vision and did not understand it. I believe that our nation is in crisis. And I want to say immediately, I don't mean Brexit. I mean something far more fundamental and deep than Brexit. Brexit is but a symptom of something that's far more serious to our well-being and our destiny. Our crisis is moral and spiritual. That's the bottom line. That's the reason things are apparently in chaos, confusion, uncertainty, upside down. Our belief in and our relationship to Almighty God in heaven is the most significant and fundamental aspect of our lives as individuals and as a nation. That relationship that we have with God affects everything. Affects everything. We, today in the UK, are in a similar state and condition as Israel were at this time in Babylon. God's people were in Babylon, of all places. Israel was confused about why they were in Babylon. They never really believed that they would ever be sent there by God, who selected them out of all nations to be a special holy people, to be sent to Babylon. But they were sent there. They were. The unbelievable happened to Israel. Instead of being revived, instead of the temple being rebuilt and the nation restored and an example to all the nations, the very opposite happened. The very opposite. They were sent to a place where there was no temple of God, no Yahweh. No mention of Yahweh. No regard for Yahweh. No synagogue. And the culture was absolutely ungodly. And yet God sent them there. The conditions in Babylon were conducive to further unbelief in Israel's God, and were more hedonistic and secular in daily life than Israel were. Bad although Israel were. Babylon was worse in many ways. Israel didn't know what was happening to them. They didn't. You know, that's like us. Even the Christian church in the UK. We don't know the times. We don't know what's happening to us, do we? Israel didn't know. We don't know what God is doing to us. I don't know. Do you? Please tell me if you do. We, Christians, are the inheritors of Israel's covenant with God, or God's covenant with Israel. But we have done worse than Israel. We've rejected Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the covenant. We've rejected Christ and all the clarity that he has brought into the world since his coming on what we call Christmas Day. We've sinned against him, the express image of God. We're worse than Israel. No wonder we don't know what's happening. And yet Israel had prophets who prophesied and had prophesied for years that this was going to happen. That Israel were heading for Babylon. Unless, of course, they repented. Unless they acknowledged their sin, which they didn't. And which we're not. Which we're not. Even when they were in Babylon, God had raised up a prophet, Ezekiel. Ezekiel. And Ezekiel warned them in Babylon. Ezekiel's ministry was in Babylon, mainly. That if they continued in unbelief, because they continued in unbelief in God in Babylon, that they would be further humiliated. They would be further humiliated. And God said through Ezekiel, "It's not for your sake, O house of Israel. It's not for your sake that I'm about to act and do something terrible and awful. But for the sake of my name, my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you have come. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, says the Lord, which has been profaned by you, who are supposed to have exalted it. You were supposed to bring the gospel to them in fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. In you shall all nations of the world be blessed through the seed of Israel." They were the ones that were to change the world, as it were. "And I will act in dealing with you, and all nations will know that I'm the Lord." And you go through the book of Isaiah, almost any page, and you'll see that they may know I am the Lord. The whole point of Israel being in Babylon was that the Babylonians and the nations of the world would know God. Not necessarily be saved by God, but would know him. At least would know him. That there is a God so different from the gods of the nations. The nations will know that it was me that was judging Israel. That's why they're there, in their midst. Because of their sin, and their God is judging them for it. You see, Israel, like we Christians today, are supposed to be examples and witnesses to all other peoples of the reality of God in heaven. He rules, he reigns. But Israel, you see, they were ignorant of who they were, who they were supposed to be, and what role they had in the world. Such was the darkness. Is it worse than ours? Do Christians today know their role in society? That God has raised them up to be a testimony and a witness to him and to his word and to his law? Are we any better? We're supposed to be salt and light to the world. We're supposed to show them the way. We're supposed to tell them how to get out of their problems. and how to avoid getting into their problems. But we've got bigger problems than them sometimes. Babylon. Israel and Babylon. But there was a Daniel there in Babylon. He was like the men of Issachar that we read of in Chronicles. Men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. They were to know what Israel was supposed to do. That's great. I hope that's a big part of your prayers, that God would raise up those who know the times, the situation we're in, what's happening in our culture, what we ought to do. Church is supposed to lead, isn't it? Now in chapter 8, where our text is, Daniel is now an old man. He'd been there a long time, about 60 years. It's about the third generation there now, when chapter 8 was written. Was written. Decades since the lion's den. Decades. He was a teenager. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were in the first deportment of Israelites sent out to Babylon. The very early ones, the very first ones, teenagers. They were bright though. They had the seeds of the brawn as well as brains. But they had God. They had God with them. They were God's people in deed and in truth. They must have had a solid grounding in the truths of God's word. They feared God more than they feared man. We fear men. I fear men. Not them. They were great. They were strong. They had resolved. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. He worked it out. We'll mention that in a moment, but there were none so talented as these four Jewish young men. They worked hard and earned high office. They earned their high office by studying, by work, by serving, by doing their duty in the world that God had placed them, albeit in wicked Babylon. They served a wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked, wicked king, pagan king, young, ambitious, powerful, brutal, determined, proud. Read Daniel 4, see how proud Nebuchadnezzar is. He served them in office there. They served God in doing what they were called by God to do. Daniel knew why he was in Babylon. Daniel knew God. He knew God was dealing with Israel. His nation was under judgment. He knew that Israel's problems and the judgment that they were under was not because of poor military strategies against all the warring nations. It wasn't because of the miscalculating of the markets for the economy. It was God at work, dealing with his people. Dealing with his people for their sins. Do we know that today? Does the church in the UK know that today? Whichever church you talk about, do we really know? We're under judgment because of our sins. Do we know that's the bottom line? Do we know how to get out of that situation? The church is supposed to have the lead. And that's why there's bishops in Parliament. That's why there's bishops in Parliament to give the light. At the Reformation, the state came to the church and asked the church for a confession of our faith. What is it we really believe? They asked the church. It's like Theresa May coming to the Archbishop of Canterbury and saying, we want a real explanation of the faith we have in God. And look at the wonderful document that was produced. Now, Daniel was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer in all circumstances, not just when things were going sweetly and well. Under threat of death, the furnace, he was a man of prayer. He would have prayed for Nebuchadnezzar. He would have prayed every day, I believe, for Nebuchadnezzar, that wicked person. He'd pray for Theresa May every day, as earnest as Daniel would have prayed for Nebuchadnezzar. He'd have prayed about the big decisions that were to be made in the cabinet and so on. He would have prayed and asked about these things and prayed about these things, that God's long-term plan to save the nations would be accomplished by the decisions that were to be made this day or this week or whatever it was. He would have prayed. Daniel believed in the covenant. He believed in God's long-term plan for the nations, that all nations would be blessed. And he was bringing forward that wonderful promise that God made to Abraham. In you, all nations will be blessed. In order to arrive where he arrived and to be where he was and to do what he did, he had to accept some things which might puzzle us. He had to take a pagan name. Now just imagine us accepting a post, and just before we signed the document to accept the job, the employer would say, now just one other thing I haven't mentioned yet. As you know, we're a Muslim organisation, and I want you to take the name Ahmed from now on. How would you respond? How would you respond? You're going to be Ahmed from now on. Well, Daniel and the three heroes took on different names, pagan names, whatever you think of that. They did. They also were happy to take a pagan education in all the literature and so on of the, like Moses, of the Egyptians. They took a pagan education. And they settled for a career in politics. And in all of these decisions and choices that they made and settled for, there were compromises. In all of these things, there were compromises. You can't live in society today without compromising in something. And you've got to make decisions. Which is the best of all the evils? I've got to do a job. A job's got to be done. If I don't do it, a pagan will do it. At least I can do some good. We can't live without compromise of some sort. We can't. Not in the world. As it is. But to choose the least harmful and the best, all things considered. That's what Daniel did. That's what his four colleagues did. But they drew the line somewhere. They drew the line somewhere. They didn't compromise everything. Not the fundamentals. No, 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 not the fundamentals. We're not bowing down to our false god. I'll wear a different name on my lapel, but I'm not bowing down to a false god. Where do you draw the line? Do you have a line drawn? that you're not going to do this. I'll go along with this, but no, I'm not doing that. Because I fear God. I feel that's pushing it, that's going over the line. Or as we say now, the red line. You are who you are because God put you there to serve Him in whatever role you have as a husband, wife, or whatever. You are where you are because God put you there. And Daniel was where he was because God put him there in the midst of that ungodly culture to serve Him. And he did. Each of us have a particular role that no one can fill but us, but you. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should be there and do them. Before you were born, before you were converted, God had a plan for you to serve Him as best you can. As best you can. God answered Daniel's prayers and revealed to him what was happening and what was going to happen among the nations of the world. He got vision after vision from God. What's going to happen in all the world. Now before then, Israel really just knew what was happening to Israel and in their immediate context. But now things are opening out and they began to realize the world's bigger than we thought, but not bigger than God. And God is showing to them, of all the other nations of the world, what was happening to them. He speaks to them about Egypt. He speaks to them about Assyria. He speaks to them about Babylon, who were fulfilling His purposes. He's in control of the world. God was showing Daniel, I'm in charge of everything, and I have a plan. And you in Babylon, confused though you are, ironic and silly as it appears, there's a plan, there's a purpose, isn't it? It is fulfilling my long-term plan that ultimately, not just Babylon, but all nations of the world will know that I am God. I'm reigning in heaven. Even the adverse and the evil things of this world are fitting in like a glove to God's plan. I form light and I create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I see He has got it all. Now, because Daniel was a man of prayer, he had regular fellowship with God. And he in turn received answers to his concerns in vision after vision. The last six chapters, as you know, we're all familiar with the first six chapters of Daniel, but we're not familiar with the last six because they're all visions and they're very difficult and very complicated. It's about the kings of Media and Persia and Greece. Very relevant for Daniel. Very relevant for the times there. And God was telling His people, His prophets, His plan, and what's going to happen. And it all came to pass. All these prophecies in Daniel came to pass exactly. They're mainly about Alexander the Great and his conquering the world. As detailed, it's all right. And you know, the answer that the critics have, to, there's one chapter where there's, I think, 100 prophecies. And the only answer that the critics have is that the book of Daniel was written after the events. What a testimony to its accuracy. Anyway, Daniel had the courage. Not just was he a man of prayer, he had something which we need today. I need. You need. Our politicians need. Courage. Courage to speak face to face with the powers that be. With kings about the awful truth about what's happening. The awful truth about what's happening and the consequences of disobeying God. Daniel had to tell Nebuchadnezzar face to face, "You're this big tree that's chopped down." That wasn't easy. "Because of your pride, God's going to chop you down." That wasn't easy. But he had to do it. We need men like that today, friends. We need ministers. We need preachers of the gospel who will preach the truth in spite of the threats. In spite of the threats. Daniel had to tell Nebuchadnezzar, "You're going to be like a beast in the field with feathers on, eating the grass." That wasn't easy, was it? Then the next king comes along, Belteshazzar. Writing's on the wall. His sins were so great, God had to judge him as well. And Daniel had to tell Nebuchadnezzar, "You've not humbled your heart, although you knew what happened to your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, brought down like eating grass. You knew all this." Daniel chapter 6, I think that's. No, 5. "You knew all this, and you carried on rejecting God." Wasn't easy. That's how Daniel's great. He had the courage of his convictions. Even in today's world, people admire those who are willing to suffer for their principles. Well, then what about our text? What about our text? Chapter 8. More visions. Rams, goats, horns, confusion. Daniel's appalled. He's on the floor. He's to go to bed. Can't understand it. So we're, in a way, in good company in a sense. But Daniel knew his God. He knew who he was and what he was to do. He prayed more. He got light and he got strength. In that visions, there was terrible fightings and war. And we may think there's terrible things going on today. There's ISIS, there's Boko Haram, there's Al-Shabaab, there's terrorists of right wing and of left wing. There's knifings. It's awful. It's fearful. Yes, it is. But you know, friends, wasn't as bad as Daniel's day. Wasn't as bad as the Babylonians and the Chaldeans and the terrible things they were doing. Read the book of Amos. It was a terrible age. Always has been. It's not as brutal or barbarian, friend, as pre-Christian times. Today it's not as brutal as it was. Now, as we said, Daniel was puzzled, sick, and he didn't understand it. He wrestled with God to find out what it was. And you know, when you get visions, you still have to work out. When Paul got the vision of Macedonia call, when he got the vision of the Macedonian call, they had to gather together and they concluded after discussion. I mean, just think, if they got a call, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Well, where exactly? When? What about the people in Troas? What's going to happen to them? Do I leave them in the lurch? Or there's things to work out for God. But through prayer, we have to take step by step. So, apart from prayer, what have you and I to do? Apart from prayer, prayer is big, earnest prayer. But what have we to do? Well, what do we read that Daniel did? He rose up. Now that may be rising up from prayer, I don't know. Or it may be rising up from his bed, sickness, we don't know. But he rose up. And he went about the king's business. He went back to his office, his desk at the Foreign Office, or whatever it was, whatever department. And did his calling. He fulfilled his calling according to the word of the Lord. You and I have to go back. to where we are, in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces, and live out our faith, commandment by commandment. And while you and I are doing that, God will sort out the world. God will sort out the chaos, and his will be fulfilled. His plan will be fulfilled. Daniel did not go about moping about the awful state of Israel and how they were doing worse, and their sin was worse than Babylon's sin. He didn't go out moaning, but he knew the plan of God and that he had to do his calling. All of us have a calling. Keep God's commandments. People are fussy about this little thing and that little thing. Every denomination has got its own little thing and its own important thing. Ten Commandments, friend. That's what's important to God. Be honest. Be honest. Be yourself. Be truthful. Love God. Love people. Help people. Put on the whole armour of God. Keep the commandments, not traditions. Which can, traditions, you know, can be counterproductive in a different culture. Can be counterproductive. I've done it. Thought I was doing good. I wasn't. I was bringing confusion and misguiding people to really think that religion was this, that, and the next thing. Instead of faith in Christ as a saviour dying for the sins of the world. He rose up above the darkness of his day. And he put on the whole armour of God. He went to his office to defend the faith. When it challenged him, he was challenged, as we know, about his faith. But because he was strong in the Lord and had faith in the Lord, he was able to go about his daily business in the fear of God. So that's it, friends. And I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for some days. Then I rose and went about the king's business, but I was appalled by the vision and did not understand it. May God bless his word. Let's pray.